The opinions expressed in the following program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast, located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered, weak and weary, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping, rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, tapping at my chamber door, "only this and nothing more." Presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. "Sir," said I, or madam, "truly your forgiveness I implore, but the fact is I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping, tapping at my chamber door." But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, "Lenore?" This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word,
"Lenore."
Merely this and nothing more. Deep into the darkness peering, long I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. Let my heart be still a moment and this mystery explore.
'Tis the wind, nothing more.
On this home by horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore, could this be my lost Lenore? Tell me, I implore.
Quote the Raven.
Nevermore.
Brought to you by WKTV. I'm one of your ghost hosts, Wayne Preston Curtis Thomas. Welcome to another episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast. As always, we ask that you please keep an open mind about things that you might not easily believe as we explore the mysterious. On the show tonight, we have a mysterious married couple from Muskegon, Michigan. And we'll check in with them just a minute. But first, welcome my co-host.
Hey, I'm Brandon Jose of Jose Paranormal History Productions YouTube channel.
We've been together doing this, Brandon, going on 4 years now, I think.
For the podcast, yeah. Investigating. Another decade before that.
A decade, right. And then we have a couple YouTubers here, Allie and Darren Dykehouse. Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, Darren, you've been on the show for episodes 7, 14, 18, 31, 54.
Wow.
Well, you guys were on 54 together. We did a Zoom podcast for that.
Yeah.
And then you were also on Cryptic Frequencies.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was.
So we know quite a bit about you.
Yep.
Not so much about Allie. So we're going to try to learn some stuff about Allie tonight. And then just so happens, our friend published this book, Haunted Muskegon, your hometown.
Yeah.
Where you guys live. And you are in the book. Brandon's in the book. So we're going to talk about the book and your parts in the book and how you guys helped out and where you show up in the book. But I'm wondering, I got a question for Allie. What's it like to live with someone famous?
Well, I'm the same way in that position, just in a different position, if you know what I mean.
Well, has Darren changed, I'm wondering, now that he's famous in the book?
Honestly, he has changed.
Oh, has he?
From the time that I have met him. From the time that I've met him to the time that I've been with him, he has changed a lot. And a lot of it's got to do with his professional. I love it. And he is showing his creativity.
Oh, yeah.
And that is beautiful.
Now, Darren's Lakeshore Paranormal. Mm-hmm. And you're also Lakeshore Paranormal?
Yes. And I also am Sweet Pea for Leaf Clover.
Oh, you changed the name on me.
Mm. Yeah.
Last time.
I had my own.
Yeah, last time it was Soy Alicia TV.
Yep.
Alicia TV.
Yep.
So now say that what it is now again.
Sweet Pea for Leaf Clover.
Okay. How do you spell that?
S-W-E-E-T, P,
P,
E, and a big A.
Clover?
Clover, yep.
I might have to get that from you later so I can get my notes straight. But now, okay, Lakeshore Paranormal, you guys, I said that you, Darren, were the Lord of the Cemeteries.
Yeah, that's
right. You've been in more cemeteries than anyone I know.
Oh, wow, yeah, that's true.
I had it on my list, but then I didn't have room for anything else. How many cemeteries do you think you've been to?
Oh, gosh. Well over, I don't know, definitely well over 100.
All in Michigan?
All in Michigan, yeah. Yeah, hundreds.
Okay. In the book, you talk about Nunica.
Yeah.
And there's a photo that you took of a tombstone.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
That's awesome, yep.
Is it wooden? I can't tell from the picture.
It was. Yes, it is wooden. It is. And it's pretty interesting to think that, you know, I have a wooden tombstone.
It looked really thick and it was kind of leaning to the side.
Yeah.
It was pretty creepy looking.
Yeah, it is.
Now, tombstone, there's different names for it. There's headstone, gravestone. But I think Marie called it tombstone.
Yeah.
Tombstone that you took the picture of. And it's like graveyard and cemetery. They're actually two different things.
Yeah. Yeah. A graveyard is next to a church.
So. There you go. Now, you think you get more activity in a graveyard next to a church than you do a regular cemetery?
Really all depends. I mean, I think I've gotten a lot more activity rather than... maybe at a cemetery rather than a graveyard, because, you know, you have your church there, so, you know, maybe it's a house of worship, so at least not too negative.
Oh, okay, yeah, so maybe there was some more words said at a church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe they rest in peace
more.
You think Nunica Cemetery is, now they bill it as one of the most haunted cemeteries in Michigan.
I've had my own personal experiences. I seen a woman in a white dress there. She kind of showed herself to me, and, you know, before I even realized what was going through my head, you know, she was gone. But
you saw a full form apparition of a lady in white.
A full bodied apparition. I just couldn't make out her face, but she was wearing a like a Victorian dress, kind of like a thinner dress, almost kind of nightgown looking, but more Victorian.
You think it could have been a wedding dress?
Yeah, I think so. Oh. Or, yeah, it could have been.
Allie, were you there too?
No, I wasn't.
Have you been to Nunica?
I have several times.
Oh. Do you get feelings?
I do. I have gotten really deep feelings, especially when we were at the tree. Mm-hmm. I guess the tree where someone had hung themselves.
Yeah.
And I felt a very deep feeling. A feeling where they did not want to be disturbed.
Oh,
and
they
wanted me out.
Now, was that the apparition? Was that Mike?
I'm not sure. Could have been.
I thought you got an EVP that you thought said Mike, and you thought he was upset with you.
Yeah.
And you started asking about how he committed suicide.
That's true. I think I got a Larry, though. I got a Mike and a Larry near that tree, so I'm not sure whether it was a Larry or a Mike.
Okay.
I also got a Robert, but, I mean, there's a lot going on there, so, I mean...
You said someone grabbed your hand.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did.
Isn't that a common thing there?
Yeah.
They say there's a little girl or something that wants to hold your hand when you go through the cemetery.
Yeah, and I think her name is Emily.
Oh.
A lot of people call her Emily.
Okay.
Yeah, that was one. Before the Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters, like when the first time I first started, we had one where like the medium on the team had, I think she had felt like there was like a little kid there like holding her hand. And we had gotten a picture, because I was taking pictures, where it looks like a little kid, but you can't see the head. But you can see, like arms and legs, like a shadow, like, walking, like, holding the hands, and like, with her. And
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize that you had been to Nunica. You'd been there.
Yeah, I've been there plenty of times over the years. Yeah, it was one of the first places after Nick Fink's that I investigated, because it's a place you can, you know, go to. And like a lot of times I would use it like when I'd have like new people that were interested in training. That's usually where I would take people to train.
Right, and that's not too far from us. Pretty close to Muskegon.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it's kind of good. It's good in between. Yeah, a good in between meeting point for like a lot of people. So it usually always worked pretty good for training.
Yeah, I'd like to go there, but I'm going to go there and smudge. So if I might put all the spirits to rest, Nunica won't be haunted anymore.
Uh-oh. I think there'll be plenty. There's a lot of people running. There's a lot of people running around in that.
Yeah, there's different spirits and stuff.
Yeah.
Darren, you said you've been there day and night. Now, how come on? You're giving away something here, aren't you?
Yeah.
Is it closed at night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, promote trespassing, but, you know, we got to do our readings. So, you know, we did some readings. It was more going on dusk. So, I mean, we weren't, you know, we were still technically not breaking any rules.
I kind of wondered how dark it was. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't overly dark. But yeah, we've definitely, I seen a lot of shadows playing around with the corner of my eyes, you know, when it gets to be like a little after dusk. I had this shadowy mass come up where on the wood line, and it comes up. It looked like almost like the size of a basketball, and it just shoots right up at me and dive bombs right into the woods. And I mean, for a second I was thinking, was that a bird? It happened so fast, and it was just this black mass, and I looked, you know, right where it went into the wood line, but it went into the wood line like right into the leaves. So I mean, if it was a bird, I would have seen it right there, but I don't know how to explain that. I wasn't filming that night either, so I mean, that was when I was first getting into it. I had a lot of different experiences there for sure.
Now, is there an older section?
I believe, I think the older section is up towards the front of the cemetery.
Where you think there may be some graves that are not marked? Are there Civil War soldiers buried there?
Yes, there is.
Is that one of the stories that they get?
Yeah, there are. There are a few Civil War veterans there as well.
I think the biggest thing is the cold spots.
Yeah.
Because these things have been described not just as cold, freezing cold. Mm-hmm. So you can't mistake that there's something near you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is true. I've gotten a lot of cold feelings there. So yeah, it's definitely on a different level when it comes to hauntings. I always heard that when they built the cemetery, they started burying over a Native American burial ground.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know, on top of that, there's just a lot of interesting facts that surround the little town.
They call it City of the Lost Souls? Where'd that come from?
That came from me. I ended up getting an EVP one time, and it kind of stuck with me, and it was a name of one of my videos that I did there too. But I ended up getting an EVP saying, a spirit saying, it's a city in here. And I feel like he was referring to, you know, it's almost packed with spirits. I mean,
I would agree with it, because I kind of been there. Yeah. I've run into a lot of different spirits.
Yeah,
like
I mean, I kind of believe it.
Like Joel Bond, he's one of the ones that's believed to be there. I got a picture with him, or like a smoky, like, you know, like see-through white figure, like hands on hips, like wearing a hat, because he's supposed to be wearing a hat, so I think it was probably him.
That's what I, yep.
Yeah.
So, that's Chapter 9, City of Lost Souls, Ghost of Nunica Cemetery. So, Marie got that from you.
Yeah.
Wow, I did not know that.
That's awesome.
So, I haven't got a chance to talk to her since I read her book here. This is a great book.
That is a good one.
In my opinion, that's really good. Only my opinion. I don't know. I can't endorse it. I can't tell you. everybody else to go out and buy it, but you shouldn't have to buy yours. I don't know if you had to.
I did not have to.
I know Marie got a few copies sent to her in the beginning.
And I actually have to thank Andy. He ended up getting me a copy.
Andy O'Reilly.
And I appreciate that. I was gonna eventually pick a copy up, and so I was there at her book signing, and he was really excited for me to get a signed copy.
Nice.
He ended up getting me one, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, Andy O, he's a DJ out there in Muskegon.
He's a good guy.
I've had contact with him because he was in Grand Rapids for a while.
Oh, awesome.
WFGR DJ.
Oh, nice.
So he set me up with some tickets to some shows before.
That's really nice of him that he did that for me.
So you guys are both in acknowledgments, and you're both in the introduction. By the way, it's the longest introduction I've ever seen.
Wow.
This introduction could be about 3 chapters.
Wow.
And yeah, you're in there. And then you're in chapter 11. For Honor and Country, Sailors of LST 393. Allie, were you at the LST 393 ship?
No.
Oh. No. That was part of the Paranormal Summit with Grass.
Yeah, it was. That was in 2019.
But Brandon was there.
Yeah.
Yep, you were there.
And Kent County Paranormal, his team.
Yep.
And then there was one other team, Michigan Area Paranormal Investigative Team was there.
And I think there was one from Traverse City, too, but I can't remember the name of it. There were like 5 teams.
Oh, that many. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's Grass, ours, yours, them, and then I think one from Traverse City. I want to... The
Taff was with us too.
Yeah.
Now it's actually a veterans museum.
Mm-hmm.
And then so all these artifacts. Allie, what do you think? You think ghost might be attached to those artifacts?
I do believe so, yes. I do. I do, because a lot of the artifacts could be not only years old in history, but a lot of times I'll just put it this way. If I was myself deceased and I had something that I liked a lot, I'm going to be attached to it. So I do believe that other spirits are attached to their own artifacts. So okay. Yes, I do.
Yeah, I believe it myself that spirits can be attached to those artifacts.
Very well.
I tell people, you're on a ghost hunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't be bringing artifacts home with you from there.
Exactly. And some of them can be good and others can be bad too as well. So
yeah. It's the same thing like antique shopping or something too. Like if you're feeling a vibe off of something, you gotta realize there might be something with that, you know?
That's exactly what Allie and I do. We go antiquing and we pick up stuff that have a little bit of a vibe to it. So we have a lot going on at our house.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you're an empath.
Yes, I am. Yep.
Also empath, Allie?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Well, I guess that's why you're such a good couple. Marie talks about the feelings that are in this ship. You know, just there was 9,100 soldiers, 3,248 vehicles, 5,000 prisoners, and over 800 casualties because apparently it was a hospital ship at one time.
Wow.
Yeah, it was transporting ones because one of... had like a personal connection to me was because like that weekend we were investigating, well, it was one of the ships that would have, that was transporting before D-Day, because it was one of the ones involved in D-Day. Before D-Day, it was transporting troops from Africa to Italy. And one of my, it'd been my grandpa's uncle, that's where my middle name came from.
Oh.
Was James Jose. And he died in Italy. But that ship was one of the ships that would have been transporting. And that weekend, his burial flag showed up that weekend that my grandpa had been looking for like years. All of a sudden, that turned up that same weekend I investigated LST 393.
So you have like a personal connection to it?
Yeah.
Jeez.
But I'm like, what are the chances? My grandpa was looking for that forever, and like he could not find that flag. Because it was like in Hudsonville, it was like raised for like a flag dedication thing, because the... at the Veterans Memorial, the flag there, pole there, is dedicated to him. And then you couldn't find out what happened to it after that.
Brandon has so many connections. We go to St. Celia Music Hall, and he goes, a picture up on the wall. He goes, yeah, I think that's one of my relatives.
It was one of the rooms had like a name that it sounded familiar.
Right.
That I had that one, like, would have been at least probably a family member of there, yeah.
And then we did Sleepy Hollow episode. And yeah. You had a connection to Sleepy Hollow somehow. You had...
Yeah.
That you my talked aunts, about.
I'm actually... I had ancestors that lived in Sleepy Hollow, and their family's interconnected with the Van Tassels, so which are in the, you know, the story of Sleepy Hollow.
Nice. Marie talks about the emotions, the loss, the sadness, the despair, the happiness and hope, you know, the whole thing about war and death. And she says, she makes this quote, many ghosts just want their existence to be acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I agree. I mean, maybe they're calling out for help, or they just want to be heard. Like I would say, for an example, if you know, maybe you got a house that somebody passed away in, that they lived there for years and years, maybe they're not wanting to go away. Maybe they want to be part of the family. I mean, I heard of someone basically having to make a plate of food for a spirit just so they wouldn't be so angry all the time, and they just kind of included it with their life. And
that's interesting.
Yeah, I recently heard that on a show I was watching. I can't remember which one it was, but yeah, I thought that was really interesting. The activity stopped when they just started giving the spirit a cup of coffee, you know, when they had a cup of coffee, or, you know, it was kind of interesting. And he didn't want to, they were saying that the spirit was mad and he didn't want to leave because he lived there for so long, but he also liked to have his coffee.
So it was an intelligent haunting.
Yeah, yeah, it was interesting.
It wasn't residual energy that just because they had been there and routine or a traumatic event, this was a actual intelligent spirit.
Yeah. Something.
Al, you think the same thing, that ghosts maybe just want to be acknowledged?
I think so, yes, I do. The same thing as what my husband has said. I think that a lot of times they do. They give out signs. They want to be heard, and they want to be filled, be around everyone else.
Because they
probably know that they are gone, and they want other people that are alive to be there for them. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think they definitely want to be heard. But what do you think most ghosts are looking for? What's their, you know, why do they haunt?
I think it's like with people and our personalities and our wants and desires. Mm-hmm. It's all across the board, and I think it's the same on the other side. Like, some of them are, get out of my house. Like, that's what you're getting is,
get out.
No, this is mine. Get out of here, or whatever. Or they're trying to hide a secret. We've had that before on investigations. Or sometimes I think they don't really realize that they've passed on and stuff like that. So,
oh, right.
I had a personal connection where I had somebody that I knew, I had to help them cross over. And I had like a medium told me, like, they wanted me to tell you thank you for helping them cross over and stuff. So, yeah.
Have you heard that? Get out.
Yes.
Yes, we have. Many times.
Oh, yeah. Right. But you also hear help.
Yeah, yes. I do. I hear help a lot. And I feel like there is a lot of... Personally, I believe that there's like a different, almost layers, you could say, to the spiritual world. And maybe... I would feel like the first layer is almost a purgatory or somewhere where somebody's stuck. So you get a lot of helps and help me, and or I'm lost, you know. Maybe they're trying to find their way. They need help. They need prayers, you know.
Right. Good point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think with me, it's unfinished business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's so many different kinds of unfinished business. You know, there can be vengeance, too.
Mm-hmm.
Someone is murdered, mutilated, and then cemented in a basement wall or floor.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They are not at rest. And they are looking for help.
Mm-hmm.
And Brandon alluded to, whatever you are as a living person, That's what you are as a ghost. So if you're an angry old man as a living person, you're not going to be any different, you know, as a ghost. So you're going to portray yourself. But I think they do want to be heard.
Yes.
And I don't think it should be really difficult to get that communication if they really want to be heard, if we listen. I think that's the important thing.
Yeah.
I think the big challenge is just trying to get the right technology and the stuff to be able to make it easier for the communication between. Like, we know there's communication. We're trying to communicate with them. They're trying to communicate with us. But it's like trying to hear something in a foreign language almost, where, like, you can pick out what certain words are, but you don't know exactly everything that's being communicated. They're trying to communicate, kind of a thing.
Yeah, we've heard stuff we thought was definitely a different language.
Yeah.
We thought we heard Spanish. We wanted to get someone on our team that spoke Spanish so they can interpret what these ghosts were saying. That was at Nick Fink's. Where we thought we heard.
We got a lot of French, and then I was trying to do research. I'm like thinking, I'm in the middle of a farm cemetery in Michigan. Why would I be hearing French? And it's an old place. And come to find out, there were French settlers over on this area back in the 1800s coming over from Canada.
Oh, yeah. We're close to Canada.
Yeah. So it made sense after I learned that. And I was just, it was pretty cool, you know, because I heard a French EVP, you know, it made me do a little research and I figured that out. It was really interesting.
Yeah. We even played the Lord's Prayer in different languages at a private case that we had, because we thought we were hearing different languages.
Wow.
And we weren't sure. We didn't recognize this. This was something we didn't recognize at all. Marie talks about some of the tools that you use. I wrote an article about you. And I said you like the simple approach, but yet you use some of the new phone apps. And what are some of the tools that you use?
The Spirit Box, SB7.
I was going to bring it.
Yeah, I was going to actually bring my, I really enjoy using my Portal Box now. I got this little device that it's like an amp that takes away the white noise out of a Spirit Box.
Oh.
And it works great with the apps, too. So we use that at the Van Buren County Board.
Oh, you've seen that, Brandon?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Because that white noise will drive you crazy.
Yeah, it will.
I mean,
I've been trying to do more with the digital version. I do hear a lot of people say, oh, they don't like the white noise, you know, Spirit Box. So I try to keep that to a minimal. But the Portal Box is really cool. You know, just plug it in and then you hear clear voices
coming. I'd like to see that in action.
Yeah.
You and I did a private case together.
Yeah.
And you used a couple phone apps. Necro.
Yeah, the Necrophonic, and then Spiritus Box app.
And I got a couple.
Oh yeah, that's
from
right.
that I played before, but these are pretty good. And then this will give you kind of idea what you might get out of one of those things. Oh, man. So, I mean, that kind of gives you an idea of what might come out of it. So that was both of those apps you talked about.
Yeah.
You said, how many spirits are in this house? And then we hear the creepiest, one. And then I say one, and then one again. And then you ask, what is your name? And I think it's clear. It's Joanne.
Yeah.
So
clear as day.
Yeah, that's just an idea of what those apps might do for you.
I like those apps. I mean, I always try to find ones that have more of a reputable, you know, a reputation of not being. Some of them, you know, are questionable, but I always try to find the ones that are made by actual paranormal investigators.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And then the first team I was on, we set all kinds of motion detectors out.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had cameras and wired up, and then we had like a central location where we watched our cameras and watched for motion detectors going off. But I'm not so sure that a spirit is going to set a motion detector off. How thick do they have to be?
Yeah.
Before they're going to...
That would, yeah, you'd probably have to have a very dark mass or maybe a real bright white light almost, you know, it'd be interesting, I mean, to see what it would actually take to set a motion detector.
Yeah, I always wondered about that, but we took the time. Oh, we would take 45 minutes to set up our cameras, and it wasn't wireless, so we had to run wires to our central location. And then another half an hour.
Team. That was his team before we started working together.
Yeah, that was, before Grand Rapids
Ghost Hunters. I'll be rolling right when I walk into a location. I don't want to miss anything. Even if we're still setting up, I'll still have my camera rolling.
Yeah, that was the way mine was. Yeah. I got my cameras, I set them up and record. Yeah. And I have one personal one I take with me where I'm going.
And they use the digital recorders.
Yes, I do. I need to incorporate those more in my investigations. A lot of it has to do with just, the time, it more for me when it comes to digital recorders, you need a lot of quiet and time and patience and to really connect with spirit, I feel like. So
now I noticed if you wear the headphones connected to this thing while you're recording, then you can pick those EVPs up right then.
Yeah.
And then that way you can make a note. Because when you're listening back to the hours of recording, you can have a better idea where you can find your stuff, right? And then
that's true.
I liked that when we did the private case, you smudged that same night.
Yep.
You had white sage, and you burnt some sage, and then I can't remember. I probably said a few
words too. Yeah, I think we did a few prayers,
right?
And, did some. A lot of saging.
Because that is the ultimate goal, right? To put the spirit at rest. I mean, it's not just to
record them. We had a lot of, basically, I would say, feisty spirits where, like older ones where they're stubborn and they don't want to go anywhere. And, I don't know what to do for them because most of the times when we do cleansings, they don't want to leave.
Oh, right. And it's really, you can see the help you do for the family, the living people, but it's a lot harder to know whether you've actually made contact and maybe put a spirit at rest.
Yep.
That's harder to know that.
Yeah, it is.
Hopefully you don't get a return call from people telling you to come back. I still got things flying around my house or whatever.
Yeah.
It's interesting work. And I guess the payoff is... If you do put a spirit to rest. That's what it's really all about. Mm-hmm. So you guys, you did the LST 393, right? And you did that together. Mm-hmm. Now, Brandon, you saw what, full form apparition on the ship?
It was me and like a couple other of our team members. We were down in the engine room and we could see like the shadow of a guy like back behind the engines. We kind of moved there. I did get a little bit of video, but you can't really pick it up very well on the video. Then you can kind of see there's movement, but you can't really make out the shadow figure because it's so dark with the camera. Like that lighting doesn't work the greatest.
I missed that by 2 minutes.
You walked out shortly after. Yeah.
And everyone was yelling about the guy that they just seen.
What's going on?
Right. Yeah.
But then
like three of us.
You guys left, and then it was Bill and Connie and I.
Bill and Connie Jones of Grasp.
Yep, of Grasp. And he got very ill, and he had to go upstairs. Something got to him. So then I stayed down there by myself. That was very interesting. I got a lot of feelings down there.
I'm glad you brought that up, because ghost sickness. Marie talks about the ghost sickness in the book. Have you ever experienced that, Allie?
Ghost sickness?
Ghost sickness.
I actually have. Yeah, I have. I've had times when I was around a spirit as an empath. Some others say that I'm a medium as well. I don't really claim myself as that, more like an empath, but I have gotten sick a lot. Vomiting.
Oh.
Dizzy.
Yeah.
Feeling very nauseous. Feeling weak for a couple days. And yeah, I already know that it's
like a hangover.
Yes. Sometimes it can be even worse, depending on the spirit and the location that you're at, and the energy that the spirit brings to you, depending if it's being calm or it's actually negative, as a negative energy, it'll just throw out right at you.
Yeah.
And usually when that does, I've heard from people that I know that end up going to a hospital because of that.
Oh, I've never.
Wow. I have never gotten in that direction yet, and I'm hoping not to.
Yeah.
But I have felt where I was very completely nauseous, sick, and stuff like that. So I would have to sage myself, do a couple prayers, and cleanse myself just so that I could feel a little better. A lot of times when I go to locations, I usually tell them, don't follow me, stay back, stay where you're at. You are not to follow me. You are not to allow to attach yourself to me, just so that they know, so that I won't go home and feel that kind of sickness.
So there are certain things you do for grounding and protection?
Yes, I do. I do. And usually when I do go out, I usually tell them that. I tell them, don't come around me. After an investigation, I tell them, with respect, thank you so much for communicating with us. Don't attach yourself to our equipment. Don't attach yourself to us. Don't follow us.
Right.
Don't attach yourself to our energy. You know, things like that. And a lot of times, and I usually throw, as being an empath, I throw my energy at that so they can feel that energy. As much as I'm feeling them, so they can feel that energy. So that they know, don't follow me. I appreciate you talking to me, and I thank you for communicating with me. You know, I'll be back, but just don't follow me. Because I don't, I've had issues where I would get sick and feel nauseous, like I said, and vomit and things like that. So I kind of know a little better. And,
right.
You know, when I do say things like that, it actually works well. So they actually, I feel like they kind of like that and respect that, you know. So, and a lot of times we leave an offering, so they actually like that too.
Yeah, I've heard of leaving offerings.
They do, as me being part Native American, they do like the offering. So I usually leave offerings, and they love that. So
I've heard of offerings at a cemetery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you touched on a couple of things, the respect.
Yes.
And then the grounding. I know a secret of grounding is like, take your shoes off, stand on the ground outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if something attaches to you, which you tell them not to, but say something does attach to you.
Right.
I heard of a trick where you leave there, you go like to the mall.
Yeah.
And where there's a lot of people, and then hopefully it's going to attach to someone else.
Right.
Brandon's empath.
Yeah. Yeah, I usually always, you know, a lot of times the spirits, you know, the way I've, where I've been, they do love the whole offering thing.
Okay.
But I usually love to leave the most precious thing that I have on me to give to them and offer them. And they love it. You know what I mean? Because they want that energy. So it's like, well, here, take it. You know, so it's like, okay, I'm not going to follow you type of thing. So, yeah, but if I don't leave that, I've had issues where I had left a certain area where I didn't do that, and they followed me. I had nothing but bad luck the whole 2-3 days, and a lot of crazy things would happen to me, and it was my fault. You know, I should have actually left them an offering, and I would go back and say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I apologize. I'm leaving you an offering. So it's very important, you know, no matter where you go, you know, even if you don't leave an offering, at least thank them for everything.
Thanking, I think, is real important.
Yeah, and thank you for communicating and all that stuff. And they understand, you know, just like a human person. They would, I mean, obviously.
Exactly.
Because they were human themselves at one point. So they're going to understand, you know, but leaving an offering is precious. You know, so even if you go to the store and bring an apple or a banana or something like that, they like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk to the ghost. the way you would a friend.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's the way I look at it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
See, my grandfather taught me how to ghost hunt when I was like 5 years old. He was the real thing. He was a real McCoy.
Yeah.
And then I went to his grave and I took some dirt from around his grave. And I didn't leave an offering because I didn't know about that yet. Mm-hmm. So I've gone back there since and left some pennies.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be kosher with it. But Brandon's empath and he's...
It's your grandpa, so I think he'd probably be okay.
Yeah, grandpa might be okay with it.
You're continuing his legacy, you know, because you used it on your smudging stuff. So, like, you're using his energy as part of...
Right, I put that in my smudging bowl.
To continue his work. Yeah. So I think he'd be more proud of you on that. Now, if you're grabbing it from some random person's grave, that'd be a different story.
But... Yeah, I might have something attached to me.
Yeah.
I've seen Brandon feel sick at the Allegan County Jail.
You've been there?
I have been there. My experience there, I've been there once. And this was actually, 3-4 years ago? And I brought my camera, my phone camera, and that's the only thing that I had. So as I was walking around, I was the only one walking around because there was really nobody around, right? And my phone kept messing up a whole lot. I have never in my life seen my phone mess up so much as it did when I was trying to take pictures, recording. It would just go off, turn off, and then I'd turn it back on, off. And then I had actually, before I got there, it was actually 100% full. It literally took a lot of my phone's energy. So I was afraid because that was the only phone that I had. So I actually turned it off and said, no, I can't do this anymore. So I just walked around and just started to look everywhere. And I was admired about the whole jail, in Allegan County. It was really nice to be there. It was really nice. But I can only capture a few things and stuff like that. But I felt a lot of energy coming through upstairs where the jail cell is at, all the way through where they had the army. I'm not sure if, I'm trying to remember, around the jail area, but all up in the upstairs, a whole area up there, that's where my phone kept messing up a lot. So I kind of felt the chills and I felt something was there. And yeah, so I was just like, okay, I'm just going to be there for another 5-10 minutes. I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
Because my phone, I had to literally just turn it off because it was just messing up my phone constantly.
Yeah, we're talking about the Allegan County Jail Museum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's full of artifacts.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brandon and I were together when he felt it.
Yeah.
He thought he was having a heart attack.
Yeah, I had a couple sensations. I felt like a sensation too. Well, before that, okay, so leading up to that point, we're down in the bottom basement cells. Like, and the particular cell I had gone into, I kept feeling like being grabbed and I felt like something broke me. So, like, I'm like, okay, I think we need to get out of here, kind of a thing. So, like, as we're going out, I started feeling like the sensation of like having a heart attack. Like, I know I wasn't, but that was like the sensation that I was feeling.
Wow.
Yeah,
that was a lot of intense energy down there.
You've had the sickness also at a private case.
Yeah, I had to go out. Like, we were investigating. I just felt like sick. Like, I felt fine the whole day in that house. I just got feeling sick to my stomach. So, I'd leave, go outside, I'd feel fine again, come back in, feel sick again.
Wow.
So, I kept kind of going in and out because I'd investigate as long as I could, and then I'd have to step outside and ground myself before I could go back in again.
Yeah.
No.
I was actually, the first time I was there, we went with another team, but they brought a young fella that his grandfather was actually the spirit that was there, one of the spirits that was there. So, I mean, talk about a trigger object.
I thought you were going to tell me he was a prisoner.
No, well, his grandfather was. He was. His grandfather was, and he is still there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, he never left.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Unfortunate.
Jeez. But, no, I had a scare.
Oh, really?
At the jail. Yeah, really. And I've never really, I can't say that I've ever really been frightened. I'm pretty comfortable, but I had a bat right in my face.
Oh my
Brandon
gosh.
Got it. Brandon thought
I just turned my camera off. I'm like, did you just see a ghost? I just turned my camera. I know a bat flew in my face. Like, I should have had my camera rolling on.
Oh yeah, I screamed like a little.
Because that's when we were packing up, you know, going to leave.
I screamed like a little girl.
Yeah.
I opened up that door and we knew there was a bat flying around, but he was supposed to be on a different floor.
Yeah, up in the attic.
And we left him. Well, there was more than one, or he followed us.
Yeah.
That was. I liked it there at the, but you guys been to Van Buren Poorhouse, all of you.
Yes.
Together at the same time, right?
Yeah.
And you rented it out?
Yes, I did.
Oh, nice.
We got the night and we were able to get in there fairly quick when I had gotten in touch with them, which was awesome. So they were going to do, it was so weird because they were going to do the Ghostorama thing there. Or some fair going on there in August, and I told them I really want to get in there before then, and unfortunately that's when that they had a bad strong winds, almost like a tornado type winds come through there and ripped
that was like
off.
A week yeah week after
that
we
was
investigated
a week
it yeah.
before and it's been closed since. I mean, they're fixing
yeah,
it
week, yeah week after but yeah so then they
I
weren't
mean,
able to
something
the
was telling
there.
Me to get in there before this certain date, and it
yeah.
was very interesting that I was able to. And
but apparently you got some EVPs that were forewarning of this wind.
We were doing an Estes session. I was under Estes and we were getting like tie stuff down, like talking about the roof going up and down, like roof's gonna go up, like I think I might have mentioned storm too.
Yeah, that's what
and
I
it was like a week before
yep.
the storm hit.
Oh, yeah,
the
they
roof
did.
The ceiling.
They did.
Yeah.
Yep, they did.
Yeah,
they did.
That.
They really.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
I mean, we just kind of chalked it up to be nothing at the time, but then
like going back reviewing it afterwards,
yeah,
I trying
did.
To warn us.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, ghosts
yep.
seem to be on
yep.
a different plane of time. You know, they're not messed up with space anymore, and they, apparently time doesn't bother them either.
No.
They could be at more than one place at one time, I think,
oh, yeah.
even.
Oh
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's true. I believe that.
Yep.
Now, the poorhouse is only about 100 miles from here. It's
yeah.
It's along the lake. It's yeah. south of us, about 100 miles. And then, what is the poorhouse?
It was built in the late 1800s to help the community. There was a lot of poor folks, even veterans from the war. You know, there was even a Civil War veteran there who didn't have a leg, and there's a lot of these people that had nowhere to go. So there was a community. You know, the poorhouse, they were farming there on the land. They had everything. They had a hospital there. They just lived out their days there.
How many rooms are in this building? Several?
Several.
Big building?
They did add on to it in the early 1900s, and it was really big. I mean, they really added on to it. So there's got to be, I mean, over 50 rooms. I mean, it's...
So you didn't try to go in every room, did you?
We've been in pretty much every room. Oh. I mean, it's the size of a smaller hospital. So, I mean, it's a good size building. Very good size building. But, yeah, it's a lot of ground to cover.
Are there certain rooms that you thought were maybe more haunted than others?
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot going on in the war room.
Oh,
and yeah. kind of again with the war artifacts and
yeah, that might not necessarily be the room. It might, just,
it
but I think
could
that's
be
more
the
just the artifact
itself. But
so like, if you move the artifacts to another room, you're probably having that energy going to another room,
right? But
I could see that
we got a lot of activity war. In what they had, like the little school room where we were at doing the portal box session. They say that there's a little girl there that likes to play around. And
Anna,
that's right. Yep.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting because she's like, I'm looking for my cat.
Yeah.
Like, we were getting that, and then
say that.
And then like later Ooh. In another room, I see
yeah.
like it looked like a shadow black cat.
Yeah.
To walk uh-huh. by the bed, and then
yeah.
like the his app goes, oh, there's the cat.
Oh no.
Yeah,
yeah and I saw it. Yeah, yeah.
They did obviously.
Yeah. Ghost cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, ghost cat.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Jeez,
yeah.
I like that. Oh yeah, I did some research. They talk about footsteps, dogs barking, birds
yeah.
heard. And this little girl Anna, And they say the library is the most active. Wow. But the nursery also has all these baby dolls in it. And so I could see this little girl, Anna, maybe hanging out in the nursery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They talk about suicide and murder.
Yeah. I think one of the other rooms that I had a lot of activity in was one of the third floor rooms where we think the guy had jumped out the window.
Okay.
So we think that room had a lot more activity.
And I think suicide just kind of brings with it some unrest. Mm-hmm.
And it's a touchy subject, but our neighbor, went through that, and we have activity near our house too.
Oh.
We try to pray for him the best we can. So, but it is, it's very sad, and we do believe that it opens doors up. Maybe even a portal, I don't know. But it seems like when the suicide's involved, there's always more activity that follows.
Yeah, I think so, and the emotions of that whole the whole process there. Okay, well, we talked about the book some, and then we got to cover some tools, basic tools. Do you have a pocket full of rocks today or not?
Not today.
Not today.
Oh, wait, I got one.
Okay, didn't let me down.
Oh, what do I got today? It's what a citrine.
That? Oh, yeah. This I like the citrine.
Helps with the energy. I usually say it goes for like darker color stones to the lighter, brighter colors. Goes with the power of the sun and the moon. So this would be more the energy of the sun.
Okay, yeah, citrine was one of my favorites. Of course, you are partly to blame for all this that's going on here, that I have two cases of these things.
This one came from the museum, believe it or not.
From what?
Downtown.
Okay. But, yeah, I have the citrine.
The big one. Oh, citrine here. Yes. Nice. That's
very
a nice,
nice
one, yeah.
Very nice. It's very powerful.
Prosperity, wealth, powerful. Concentration, fights fear and depression, phobias. So I like this. This is one of the first ones that I got. And, talking to you is what made me get some of these things. I think before you had a black...
Probably obsidian or black tourmaline.
Yeah, tourmaline.
Tourmaline.
That's one I want. I still don't have it.
Very
I have the obsidian, black obsidian.
Negative energy.
And then our mutual friend, Mama Mary Bassett, she gave me this giant Petoskey.
Oh, wow.
And then this crystal here.
Oh, those are nice.
And then I got some things from other people for protection, like holy water. And this is protection. It's got different things in it.
Oh, yeah.
So
I have one like this, and it's a money one. I like that. So
I want to put some faith in those things somewhat. But you guys got any upcoming stuff? Anything on the calendar?
We're hoping to get out there. Now that you get to talk about the jail, we might have to make a couple phone calls here soon. I got till November 28th, and then I'll be down probably for a month. I got a little bit of a surgery, but I don't think should be that bad. I should be okay,
Yeah, good luck with the surgery.
Thank you. And we're just trying to beat the weather right now.
Yeah.
We got a premiere tonight, but, that should be on my channel, Lakeshore Paranormal on YouTube, whenever this is released. So, it'll be out tonight by 11. So.
Now, Allie, you did a thing, Texas Hotel.
Yes, I did.
By yourself?
Honestly, no.
Are you from Texas?
I was born here in Michigan, but I was raised in Texas.
Oh, okay.
So, kind of a yes and no.
But a haunted hotel in Texas?
I went down there. I was not expecting that. A family member of mine brought that up as I was down there doing an event for other things that had nothing to do with that. And it wasn't expected, and I was like, why not? So, yeah, we did, and that is actually, the hotel that we went to is actually one of the most haunted hotels in the state of Texas.
Did you get to stay in the hotel?
No, we didn't, because it's not a place to stay. It's actually abandoned.
But I mean, you can if you want, but I don't know about all that. Before we had gone there, I had another family member tell me, don't go, you know, was worried about us going. And we're like, well, we're just going to go check it out for a bit, you know, because we weren't that far from there. We were only like, 5 minutes away from there, 6 minutes. So we ended up going a couple times. And, you know, I didn't have all the equipment with me because, like I said, I wasn't really ready to do any of the investigation. I was down there for another event. So I had my phone, but luckily one of the family members that came with me had a little speaker recording. I don't know what kind of equipment he had, but it wasn't really nothing big. And I'll be honest with you, we seen so much going on there for the 3 nights that we've gone. None of it was recorded.
Oh, yeah.
Even if we did record, it was all deleted. It was weird. The only thing that was recorded was like, 5 seconds of it, 10 seconds that I had posted on my community chat, and that's it. But other than that, we had gone there early in the morning to do so, make a video, and that did get accomplished.
Okay.
So, but there's a lot going on.
Yeah. You know, you brought up tools again. Did you ever bring any toys or anything to entice?
You know what? No, we didn't. We brought just...
Do you ever, though?
Need to get one of these. We've been hearing a lot about the cat balls and the cat toys and stuff, so we're trying to work on something like that.
Yeah.
First time I brought this, Brandon's like, oh, now you're going to mess up my cameras.
Oh, no.
I think cameras that's put us to the next level.
We got a very interesting miss on our last investigation.
Yes. Yeah.
And I actually isolated it and just posted that.
There was a lot going on there.
It almost looked like a breath, but it was still really warm out at the time. There was no breath or anything, but it was just a mist came right through the camera. That was really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It was in night vision. So.
You got that out on YouTube?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think cameras, different cameras, SLS is it, and then night vision thermal cameras, and then all these game cameras that people, that's going to pick up Bigfoot and other things.
I
think that's going to be the wave, and ghosts, and maybe that's, whether it can be emotion activated with a ghost, we're not sure about, but.
Or the trail cameras.
Brandon, you got anything upcoming?
Not really until probably the spring. I'm hoping to do some stuff for Halloween. Maybe try to get in somewhere to investigate or something. But
yeah,
I don't have anything in the books right now.
Brandon and I may be lecturing at KDL Libraries in the spring too on ghosts. So we're kind of looking forward to that. You know, you guys will be on TV, Comcast, Channel 25, UVerse 99, Mondays, 11 p.m. Saturday, it repeats the same show, 12:30 a.m. So that's like really Sunday morning. And then for me, ongoing thing is the 988 suicide hotline. It's been my pet project. Since they've initiated this thing in July, the calls are up 45%.
Wow.
They received 3.6 million calls in 2021. Calls, chats, texts. So this is very important. But in case you're in an area where they don't have that 988 hooked up yet, the number is 1-800-273-8255. That'll get you to the suicide hotline. Our shout out goes to Shatan Noir. She was our last guest here. But I also want to do a shout out to Kim, our co-host, Tanya, our newest co-host in Ohio, and then Tyler, our tech guy, wouldn't be here. But I want to do a shout out. You guys work with Robert Walker, Michigander man.
He's good
and
guy.
Then we lost his buddy. Everybody's buddy.
Yeah.
Traveling buddy. We lost traveling buddy.
Bless him. Rest in peace.
There you go. So, and then the final thought, unfinished business can cause haunting. We kind of decided that everybody believes that unfinished business can do it. But do you think you can be resting in peace in your grave and then say you have your grave desecrated, and can that cause a haunting?
I honestly hope that maybe you know, once you're at peace, you're at peace, you know. I want to believe that. But when it comes to people that are more attached, like Native American spirits, I would say, you know, a lot of people have desecrated graves and burial grounds, and that definitely can stir up activity. So, I mean, that's an example. So, I mean, it's hard to say, you know, I believe it can, but I also hope that, you know, if somebody's at rest, they're at rest, you know, no matter what happens.
Yeah, I wanted to believe that. What do you think, Brandon?
Well, so my thinking on it is like they can be at peace on the other side. Like, I don't think you're hanging out in your in your casket.
Right.
But like, okay, you're at peace at the other side, and all of a sudden they're messing with your stuff. That doesn't mean you're not going to get ticked off and be like, I could be happy. Yeah. And I see somebody going and vandalizing my car. I'm going to get ticked off. So, you know, I think it's kind of the same on the other side, too,
yep,
you know.
Yep, same, yep.
Yeah.
You kind of agree with these guys?
I do. Yep, I do.
You know, I wanted to believe that, too. You're resting in peace. That's it. Yeah. You know, you're not going to be bothered. But this is what happened with me. I was out fishing. I wanted to take a shortcut up this steep cliff. And then once I got up there, I was going to have to go through the graveyard cemetery. Well, halfway up, I noticed someone had thrown the tombstones over the cliff.
So they were laid out.
About the same time I noticed that, felt like I was being electrocuted all over my body at the same time.
Wow.
I started jumping around. My son, who was with me, started experiencing the same thing. So the cliff's like this, and it didn't take us long to get the rest of the way up there and then up into the cemetery. But
wow.
So I think they thought we did it.
Oh, God.
They were taking it out on us. So they were in their graves already, resting in peace. But I think maybe mass graves, too, can create problems. And something that Brandon and I ran into, people being cremated, can be a problem. If they haven't said words over them, they're sitting on a shelf for years. You don't know how many unclaimed urns there are out there. There's thousands.
Yeah, because that was ours. We were investigating a funeral, a cemetery. We were in like the office building. We kept noticing the activity going to one part of it. We're like, well, what's behind that locked door over there? And like, oh, that's all the unclaimed people. We cremate them and put them in urns and leave them in there.
Wow.
So I'm like, yeah, so that's why we kind of recommended, you know, having somebody come in and, you know, say words over them and stuff like that.
I think
that,
it's important.
They're kind of unclaimed and forgotten about, like, basically sitting in a closet, so.
I think that ritual or ceremony that surrounds death is very important to the humans. And every culture has something. They do it maybe differently, but they have something. Now, you say you're Native American. Have you ever worked with a shaman?
I'm related to shamans. Yes.
They're very secretive.
They are, yes, just as much as I had told you a while back. Yes, they're very secretive. Some of them may maybe expose themselves to others, depending. But the ones that I know of, including family members, yeah, they're very quiet. They don't
tell. I wish I knew some, and I wish they would share some of their secrets with me. I really do.
Yeah.
All right, well, got the inspirational thought, and then that's it. And I always try to make it relate to my guest. And I gave you one of my stones, one of my message stones.
Yeah, and I just seen that today, the courage one. I have it up on one of my rocks.
Exactly right, courage. That's what I tried to send home with you.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you were part of Alice in Wonderland, whatever, I don't know. But Winston Churchill says, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. And I think you've demonstrated that all through your career. You know, you started in 2013, and then you founded Lakeshore Paranormal in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't been easy, right? It's been struggles.
Yeah,
it's taken courage.
A lot of struggles, a lot of dedication. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears, I guess you could say.
Kim, our other, she thinks you need that courage just to go into these locations. And at least now you're a team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a tight team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brandon and I aren't quite that tight.
No.
But So you got that going for you, and you're both empaths. So you can, I bet you share a lot, you know.
We do. Mm-hmm. We do.
And then you can relate together. Yeah. So it's that perseverance that you've demonstrated that I'm really proud of that. And I think you have to believe in yourself if you want to do this. Yeah. So continue. Keep that courage. Keep it up. And good luck to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Brandon. Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.
Another good show. Darren. Allie.
Thank you.
Say your name of your YouTube channel again.
Sweet Pea Four Leaf Clover.
Cool. And your channel is called just
Lakeshore Paranormal.
Excellent. Yep. Great show, guys. Thanks a lot.
Yep, thank you.
Peace out.
This episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast, located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.